Okay, so we're on Daf Nun Tet today. I'm beginning on Nun Chet on Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Okay, so it says Nidarmalu Nidgarsha Bechulei. So if you remember, we had learned in the Mishnah that if one of the Psulei Kahuna, let's say she's a Grusha or an Almana, so it's either, so if Nidarmalu Nidgarshu, if they were widowed or divorced from Erusin, so then if they're divorced from Nisuin, they're Psulo. They get a din of Chalala, meaning they can't eat Truma anymore, and they are Psulo for a Konin. Let's say an Almana wouldn't be Psulo for Konin. Now she's Psulo for Konin from the Nisuin, but from the Erusin, they're Kshero. From the Erusin,
Koin Gadol for Almana.
Right, but they're from the Erusin, they're Ksheiro. So the Gemara says three lines from the bottom. Tarmel Nukarshu Chulei. So by Minei Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmuel. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef posed the following question.
You just called me, right?
Yes.
Okay. So can you hear me, Fern? Fern. Okay, so we're two lines. So I began. We're two lines from the bottom on the Chedem Abayis. So by me, Rabbi Chiya.
Were you able to call the other people?
No, I have to go on right now. Okay, by me, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmuel, Kohen Gadol Shekteish Rektana. If a Kohen Gadol is Makadish a Ketana, Ketana is from 0 to 12, Ubagra Tachav, and then she became a Bogeret while between Erusin and Isuin. Now we'll come to see in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol is, according to Rav Meir, is not allowed to marry a Bogeret. So it means that his wife, we're talking about young wives, it's a very young wife, he's Makadish the Ketana, Ubagra Tachav. So mahu. So what's the halach in that case? Batar nisuin azlin and no batar erusin azlin. Meaning, what is the calendar date? That we have to figure it out for. So the Gemara says. So if it's after Erusin, he's in the clear. If it's after Nisuin, he's not in the clear, because he has to marry a Ketana or a Nara. So he married a Ketana, but then before the Nisuin, she got to be a
Bulgarian.
That's it, yeah. So the Gemara says, so Amar Leitani Tu. So Shmuel says to him on the second line, we learned the answer to this in our Mishnah. It says that the Armelun at Garshum and Nisuin Psulot, Mina Erusin Shero, that if the women were widowed or divorced from the Nisuin, it was these Psulei Kahuna. In other words, I'm saying for the cyber world, if there was a an Almana for a Kohen Gadol or a Grusha to a Kohen Het Yod, so after Erusin they're in the clear, but from Nisuin they're Psulo, they get a din of Chalalas. So it seems like it seems like the key date is the Nisuin, right? He says Min Erusin Ksheiro. So he says, Amalei l'shavi chalala lo kamavayli. So he says, and Rashi says on the third line, Al v'sul kuhuna batar nisuin azlinan v'lo pasel amana shadar sel kohen gadol meiv. So we see that the key date for kuhuna seems to be nisuin. That's the way the Gemara says. Well, that's what Shmuel is saying. So the makshin is Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says back to Shmuel, Amalei l'shavi chalala lo kamavayli debihi demshavi chalala. When it comes to turning a woman to a chalala, yeah, there I have no question that it's the nisuin. There's no question about that. He says it's the bia, and some of Farshim say it may not be the bia, it'll be the nisuin. Ki kamabayali, but what's bothering me, it says v'hu yishaviv tula yikach. There's an admonition in the Torah that the Kohen Gadol has to marry Isha Bivtuleha. Isha Bivtuleha means she's got to be a young girl. It's going to come out. We'll see later on in the Gemara. He says, "My kicha de kiddushin ba'inan, o kicha de nisuin ba'inan." So when that pasuk says, "V'hu Isha," in other words, in order to turn her a chalala in Achinami, that's the bia or the nisuin. But in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah, the admonition that's on the Kohen Gadol, which is "V'hu Isha Bivtuleha yikach." Is it kicha de kiddushin ba'inan or kicha de nisuin ba'inan? Is it the kicha of erusin or nisuin? So the question is still in place. So Amar Lei, so Shmuel says back to him, Hanami Tani Tua. We learned the answer to this question as well in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is later on in Samach Aleph, which is 2 days from now. The Mishnah says, Erasin ha'almana, if he did erusin with an almana, he the Kohen Gadol did, v'nit manali or Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen, and then he was appointed to be a Kohen Gadol. He says, Yichnos. So he has a green light to do the Nisuin. So it sounds like erusin is the key element in terms of marrying a, what we want to carried over to Betula. We were talking about Katana, that he was in the Kaddish Katana, but if Eris had an Almana, in other words, Kohen Gadol is an admonition not to marry an Almana, but if he did the Erusin with the Almana, he's grandfathered in, we think the same thing would work with the Katana. We think so would work, Erusin would work. He says, so the Gemara says, no, or I should say that this is Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef who deflects the proof. He says, Shani Hatam Dechtiv Yikach Isha. So it says, so the Pesukim in Parsha Emor, which is the Parsha, which is not this Shabbos, but a week from this Shabbos, so it says, V'hu Isha B'Betula Yikach, he has to marry a Betula, which we'll come to see, means, according to Meir, not a Bogeret. He says, Almana Ugur Shava Chalala Zona Arelo Yikach. He can't marry an Almana. So at the end of the Pasuk it says, Almana Ugur Shava Chalala Zona Arelo Yikach, Kim Betula Miyamav Yikach Isha. He has to marry a Betula. So the last words of that Pasuk are Yikach Isha. The word Isha is a superfluous word. So the Gemara has a special drasha that says, Yikach Isha. So it's teaching me that there is, that normally he can't marry an Almana. But there is a circumstance where the Kohen Gadol could marry an Almana. Right. If she was grandfathered in, if he did the Erusin before he was a Kohen Gadol, and then he became a Kohen Gadol, so then the Torah specifically teaches him with this drasha that he can go forward and do it. But that's a limud that's limited to the din of Almana. Limud of Almana. And the Almana, you know, it doesn't have to be that she's lacking a Betula. She could be an Almana from Erusin. The Rabbi Sobolovsky was mentioning that to me today. So he says, Yikach Isha, Sahachanam. So Gemara says, okay, but Kachanami Ktiv Isha. He says, but the Isha that we said Yikach Isha that goes on all the things in the pasuk. So it says Almanagrusha b'Chalazonelo Yikach Kim Betulami Mav Yikach Isha. So the same Yikach Isha, the extra word was Isha. That was the extra word. The same Isha that I used perhaps to teach me that you can grandfather in the Almana. Maybe I can grandfather in the Katana in the same fashion. So the Gemara says Achat Veloshtayim. You know, the Gemara says I can only make one limud from that word, and the limud we're going to make is about Almana. So the Gemara says, Umara'ita, how did you figure out that that's the limud you're going to do? In other words, if you have a choice between Almana and the Katana becoming a Bogeret, how did you figure that only Almana is going to be in and the Bogeret not? So in the case of the Katana who became a Bogeret, her body has changed. That's a significant change in her. In the other case, she's not really changing at all. He's changing. He became a Kohen Gadol, but she's staying the same. So it's logical if the Torah is teaching me something, it's more logical the Torah would be teaching me the Ribui by the case of the Almana. So the way it's left, the Gemara doesn't clearly resolve it, but it sounds like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is saying that the hurdle is Nisuin. Indeed, the hurdle is Nisuin, just that we're carving out an exception for the Almana. That's the only grand exception we're carving out. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
Are we the only two here?
No, Daniel's here, Yosef's here, and I'm here.
Why is it so important?
Can Daniel call Malka or Arthur?
No, yes, he has to go, Daniel.
What?
She wants to know if he, can you call somebody. I said, you have to go.
No, I'm not going to.
All right.
Why is it so important? I mean, I understand it's like Zerada Katuv, and they're interpreting as far as Isha Betula Yikach. Why is it so important as far as the age is concerned about? I mean, I understand the Betula in terms of the concept of him not being.
All right, well the next piece of
why is that significant?
All right, wait, what's the next Gemara? Okay. Okay. All right. So I'm going to move on. Okay.
When Mashiach comes, the regular Jews become Kohanim.
All right.
When Gadol is only if you have quiet to start. Maybe my 75% is going to kick in.
All right. Let's take a look at the next Mishnah. And you're being recorded and it's being posted online. Okay. Ma'anitin. Okay.
Kohen Gadol
lo yisa almana. Kohen Gadol is admonished not to marry an almana. Bein almana min erusin, bein almana min nisuin. Whether it's an almana from erusin or almana from nisuin, he can't marry an almana. V'lo yisara bogeret. And according to the Tanakama, who's going to come out to be Reb Meir, he holds that a Kohen Gadol isn't allowed to marry a bogeret. Now, bogeret, we're using this in it means an older woman, but it means in technical terms. It was your katana from 0 to 12, then from 12 to 12 and a half, you're a nara, and then, so over 12 and a half would be the bogeret. Over 12 and a half would be the bogeret.
12 and 6 months.
That's right. So, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, Mashir, and bogeret. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon say no, he could marry a bogeret. So the previous sugi was going within Reb Meir. Lo yisat mukat eitz. There's a question whether this is Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, or the Tana himself is saying this, that you can't marry mukat eitz as a woman who's been injured in a way, her virginity has been damaged by, you know, by wood or some other object. Okay.
Or she did purposely.
What?
No. Or she did purposely.
Whatever. Okay, now let's take a look. Now, the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Almanat lo yikach, bein almanah min ha'irusin, bein almanah min ha'nisuin. The first halacha is that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry an almanah, whether it's an almanah from Erusin or almanah from Nisuin. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what's the source for that. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan almanah lo yikach, the Torah says he cannot marry an almanah, bein almanah min ha'irusin, bein almanah min ha'nisuin. The Gemara says it means that almanah means every interpretation of almanah, whether it's Erusin and Nisuin. So the verse is pshita. That's obvious. If the Torah says almana, so what's every almana? So ma'u detema little of almana almana mi tamar. I might have thought I should learn almana almana from tamar. Now, Rashi does mention the word gzereshava here. The article said that it sounds like mafarshim say it's not actually gzereshava. It's like a gilui milta. We're just trying to understand what the word almana means. But either way, by tamar is the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. So Yehuda says to tamar, shvi almana. In other words, you know, stay in Almanah, you know, and then wait till my sons get older, and then we'll work some deal out for you. But he calls her an Almanah, but she's an Almanah from Nisuin. So the Gemara says, So there I see, just a minute, there I see the word term almana used in the Torah, and the term almana is used specifically for a woman after Nisuin. So I would think, since I have one almana that interprets it, or that means after Nisuin, so this also means after Nisuin. So kamash falan. So that's what the Bryce is teaching me, that in this case not that way. So the Gemara says ve'ema hachanami. So it's a good argument. So why not? Maybe it is dafka almana from Nisuin. So the Gemara says dumi degrusha, because the Torah says he says almana grusha b'chalat zonai lo yikach. He can't marry an almana. He can't marry a grusha. So there's like an equivalence between almana and grusha. Ma grusha ve'ema Nisuin ve'ema erusin. Just like grusha by definition is Erusin and Nisuin. In other words, if you get the get can come after Erusin, the get gets after Nisuin, but either way you're definitely a Grusha. There's no plausible argument to make a distinction by Grusha. He says Af Almana Beimena Erusin Beimena Nisuin. So to Almana means whether from Erusin or from Gerusin. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did so far?
So for a coin,
and you can get it just from Ma'amar, right?
Yeah, well, that would be on a drabbanan level. That would be on a drabbanan level. But in Achinami, once she gets a get, even from Ma'amar, right? So she shouldn't marry a kohen.
The grusha for a regular kohen is also from Erusin.
Right. In other words, even from Erusin.
The fact that Tamar happened to have been married, it's the garden variety case. Does not mean that other cases would necessarily not be an almana from Erusin.
All right.
It is Masa Shu. I think it's what happened.
All right. Well, the Gemara takes it that, you know, that we see that I would have thought that almana, when I look in the Torah, where do I see the term almana and how do I use it? See, use. So if I'm reading the Torah and I read, where do I come across almana? So I come with Tamar, and then where do we have almana again? So almana, it mentions in Mishpatim, kol manavi atum lo tanun, don't oppress the almana. But we have the din here by the kohen almana. So I would think it's like the first impression. I think almana for the first time in the Torah shows up with Tamar, and I would think that I should use that interpretation.
Of course, the first time.
I believe it's the first time. I don't know if that's mukhrach, that it has to be the first time, but I think it happens to be the first time. Okay, let's take further in the Gemara. Okay, so below Yisad Abogaret. Now, we said in the Mishnah that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Bogaret. You know, and talk about older women. And so she's 12 and a half and older, he can't marry her. So now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, V'u'i Shabbatula Yikach, Prat L'Bogaret, Shekalla Betula Divra Meir. So, the Torah says he has to marry Isha Bivtuleha in her virginity. He has to marry her. That excludes a Bogaret Shekalula Bituleha, that her like virginity has disappeared. But if you look in Tosfos in the first very wide line, Prat Bogaret Shekalula Bituleha Lab Davka Kalu El Klomar Nitma Tu Kitzat. It doesn't mean that they disappeared. It means they reduced somewhat. So it means like this. Just 1 minute. Let's be patient. Just listen and let's be patient. So it means in some way her virginity is different when she gets a little bit older. So either it means that when he he breaks it, it's not as bloody as it was before, or it means, you know, like the cervix is not as tight as before, it's loosened up, but in some way the virginity is less than it was before. So that's the Tana Kama. So Tana Kama says Bogeret is out. That's Reb Meir. So Reb Laz and Reb Shimon Machshirin Bogeret. Reb Laz and Reb Shimon say no. The Kohen Gadol could marry a Bogeret. So if a Chloket, whether indeed the Kohen Gadol can or cannot marry a Bogeret. So let's see back in the Gemara. So B'mai Kamiflagi, what's the point of dispute between Reb Meir on the one hand and Reb Laz and Reb Shimon on the other hand? And we had these same Tanaim in the Mishnah we had before, which is about, you know, was the woman possible by Kiddushin or not. So B'mai Kamiflagi, Reb Meir Savar Bitula Afilu Mixat Bitula Mashma. So if the Torah would say, it says v'hu isha b'tula yikach. If the Torah would say b'tula yikach, the way Reb Meir understands it, I would say even mix up b'tulim. In other words, as long as she has some virginity, he can marry her. That would be at any age. He says b'tuleha. When the Torah says b'tuleha, adding that yud, he says adi'ika kol ha b'tulim. So when it says b'tuleha, it means she has to have her virginity 100% intact, which, we take it, it means she has to be, according to her mayor, below the age of 12 and a half. He says, Bivtuleha, then it says, V'hu Yisha Bivtule Yikach. So you have an extra base in the beginning of the word, Bichadarka in Shlokadarka Lo. It means her virginity has to be intact when you come in the normal fashion from the front end. He says, but Shlokadarkalo. So if somebody had relations with her on the other end of her body, so then that doesn't remove her from the din of Isha B'tula Yikach. So Reb Meir holds Isha B'tula Yikach means that if we would say just Betula would be any Betulin, but B'tula it has to be totally intact, which is the, you know, Katana or the Nara, and then Bivtuleha means that it has to be intact the normal way you come in, not the other way. Then he says, Reb Lazar of Shimon Savri, Reb Lazar of Shimon hold, Betula Shlema Mashma. So he starts off just the opposite. He says, Betula, if it would just say Betula, I would think it has to be totally intact. So then if it would just say Betula, I would think it has to be, you know, a Katana or a Nara. Bituleha, but people mix up Bitulim. So he learns just the opposite. If it's Bituleha, it means something less than Bitula. So it means that he could marry a woman whose Bitulim, you know, aren't, you know, like a 12-year-old, 12-and-a-half-year-old, or a 12-year-old. So even a Bogeret. Then Bivtuleha, Achu Kol Bitula Kayamin, Bein Bekadar Kabein Shlo Kadar. He learns the opposite here also, Reb Meir. Bivtuleha means that her virginity has to be intact, whether in the normal course or the unusual course, that any violation of her, you know, results that she's not a betula. Okay, let's just focus in on what we did. We had a machloka between Reb Meir and Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon. So the way Reb Meir understands the psukim, that you can marry, you have to marry a girl who's not a bogeret, it has to be a katana or a nara. That's what betuleha means. And then bivtuleha means that she can't have been violated in the normal fashion, but if she had relations with somebody in the abnormal fashion, she's still fit for a kohen gadol. And Reb Laz and Reb Shimon hold just the opposite. They say betuleha means even partial betulim, so any age, as long as she hasn't had relations with a man. And then bivtuleha means even if she's been violated from the rear end, she still is not a betula anymore. Okay?
So anybody calls it bet betuleha? No.
What
Ben Shai talks about the bivtuleha, bet betuleha, that maybe the front and the back and both of them have to be intact.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's not what the Gemara here says, but it's interesting remez. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Okay, so now we're six lines from the bottom on Nun Tenem and Aleph. Amrav Yudah Marav,
Nivam. Can I ask how old? What was the average age of a Kohen Gadol?
I don't know the answer.
Okay. More than 12.
Okay, now let's take a look. The one thing we know is the first Kohen Gadol we know is in his 80s. That we know. Okay, now Amar Rav Yudah Marav Nivala Shlo Kedarka Psul Lakuna. So now Rav says if a woman was Nivala, she had relations with a man, but it's going to be an animal later on. Shlo Kedarka Psul Lakuna means for a Kohen Gadol. So we think right now. So this is going like Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon. Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon say if a woman was violated from the rear end, So then she's a Be'ula, and then Mela, she's not a Betula anymore, and she can't marry Kohen Gadol, and that's what Rav says. So Rav seems like he's passing like Rav Lazar and Rav Shimon. So Matib Rava. So Rava poses the following question from a Braisa against Rav. It says, "Velo ti Elisha." This is talking about a man rapes a woman. So when a man rapes a woman, he has to offer to marry her, and if she's willing to do it, and then he has to pay the father. If she's a nara, he pays her, you know, chamishim kesef. Velo ti Elisha. So the Braisa says, "Bisha ruyelo," but the woman. In other words, he's obligated to marry her, but it has to be a woman who's fit for him. Meaning, Pratla Amana the Kohen Gadol, Rushma Kalutza the Kohen Hedyot. Meaning, it's hard to even think of such a thing, but if the Kohen Gadol would rape a woman, and then she turns out to be an Almana, so we don't expect him to marry her because she's Pasul. If a regular Kohen rapes a Grusha, we don't expect her to marry her because she's not fit for him. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, what exactly is the case in the Braisa? Ilema beKedarka, if we're talking about sex in the normal fashion, you know, front end," he says, "My Yiriyah Mishum Almana." So then, why is the psul? And it was Almana is a psul, but it's a narrow psul. Typically, Mishum Dahavi La Beula. We have a bigger psul. The bigger psul is if he rapes the woman, she's not a betula anymore. So why do I have to get into Almana? This, that, the other. Just say she's a Be'ula, so that's why she's not fit for him. So he says, Elav Shlo Kedarka. Is it not that the Braisa, when the Braisa says, speaks about a woman, is talking about having relations with a woman, Shlo Kedarka. So in other words, so he violated her, but he did Shlo Kedarka. Umishum Almana in Mishum Be'ula Lo. And the implication of the Braisa is that the psula is because it's an almana, but not because she's a Be'ula. So that would seem to support, like we said, Remeir, but that seems to go against Rav. So the Gemara says, turn page on the top line on the Ten of Days, Hamani Rebbe Meir he. So the Gemara says, what's the kasha? This Braisa goes like the Tana Rebbe Meir. Rav da Amark Rebbe Lazar. Rav holds like Rebbe Lazar. So you're right, the Braisa is not like Rav, because the Braisa is like Rebbe Meir, and Rav is going like Rebbe Lazar, and Rebbe Lazar holds, indeed, that if the woman is violated from the front or the back, she's not that way, but this Braisa goes like Rebbe Meir. So the Gemara says, Ik Rebbe Lazar. So if Rav is going like Rebbe Lazar, my Yiriya Mishum Be'ula Tepet Le Dahavya Lazona. So Rav said, let's go back to Rav's statement. Rav said, six lines from the bottom on Amud Aleph, Nivala Shlo Kedarka, if she's, you know, has sex, Shlo Kedarka, she's Psula Kuna, means Psula to Kohen Gadol. So why doesn't he say, if Rav holds like Rebbe Lazar, why doesn't he say that we have a bigger problem? It was Be'ula is one thing, that she's not a Betula anymore, not Kinami, but why can't we say she's a Zona? In other words, Rav says, he says, Nivalosh Lokadarka Psula Kahuna, because she's not a Betula anymore, because she was Nivalosh Lokadarka. But doesn't she have another problem? She's a Zona. He says, the Ha'ama Rebbe Lazar, Panui Abala Pnuya Shalom Shem Ishut, Asazona. Rebbe Lazar, who Rav is going like, holds that if it means it could be a Jewish man and a Jewish woman, you know, having a tryst together, so automatically he turns her into a Zona, according to Rebbe Lazar. He turns her into a Zona. See, yet Rav didn't mention that in his statement. So Amar of Yosef, Gion Shenivala Lebehema. So Rav Yosef says, you know what? It could be that we misunderstood Rav's statement. When Rav says Nivala Shlo Kedarka Psula, he meant that it was Shlo Kedarka, but it was an animal. In other words, an animal was the other partner with it. So if it's an animal, it's not Znus. He says, let's see back in the Gemara. Shenivala Lebehema, Tahatam Mishim Be'ula Ika. So if you have relations with the animal like mounts the woman from the back. So, right, she's a Be'ula, she's not a Betula anymore. Shem Zona Leke, she's not a Zona. So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Mimanav Shach, either way you play it out, I Be'ula Havya Zona Nami Havya, I Zona Lo Havya Be'ula Nami Lo Havya. So Abaye says, I don't think it goes this way. I think it rises and falls together. If you say she's a Be'ula, which is what Rav says, then indeed she's a Zona, otherwise not. But Chitema, Midi the Havya Mukareit Shalo Kedarka. So maybe you'll say like this. Maybe he's talking about like Mukad Eitz. Mukad Eitz is where the woman is you know, got injured, you know, from a piece of wood or something like that. So he says, Imkain, Ein Lecha Isha Shekshir Lekuna Shlo Nasei Mukad Eitz, like they straw. So if that your definition of Mukad Eitz can even be from the rear end, so then every woman would be a Mukad Eitz, and no one would be qualified to marry the Kohen Gadol, because they clean themselves, they go to the bathroom, they would clean themselves with the pebbles and things like that. So Ela Amar Bzeira B'ma'enet. So Bzeira says, the way we can explain Rav's statement is M'ma'enet means a young girl was married off on a bottom level by her brothers and mother. The father was out of the situation. And then during the marriage, the husband, had relations with her on the rear end, not in the front end. And then she says, I'm out of here. So that's the case that Rav is talking about. So she's not an almana, and she's not a Ba'ula either, or actually she is a Ba'ula, right? So according to Rav says that's the case Rav is talking about. Nibbala Shlokadarka Psula Kuhuna. She's Psula Kuhuna, but she's not a Zona. She's Nibbala, and so according to Rav, which is going to her like Rav Lazar and Rav Shimon, so then she's Psula for the Kohen Gadol.
She loses her Ba'ula?
Right.
But she's not a Zona.
Right. Okay, we have 30 seconds for questions.
Doesn't it mean it was by force against her will? I mean, there has to be a difference. There is one woman who willingly goes with an animal. The other one, the animal mounts her against her will.
Yeah,
you come in no matter what. I mean,
yeah. Well, the Gemara in the end is not saying that's the case, but it doesn't make a difference what it was. Is if it's nivala, she's not a betula anymore. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So now we're more into the animals here today. So 10 lines down. So Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya nivala lebehema kshira lekuhuna. So Rav Simi Bar Chiya says if the woman was nivala lebehema, this is like your case. If I could say, Daniel, so she's kshera l'kahuna. In other words, if an animal had relations with her, she's still kosher for kahuna. She says. So just let me just give you one.
Against what we learned earlier on, that if a person has intentions to go with an animal and he goes with a woman, then it's considered a biya as opposed to matiach bakir.
Well, I'm losing it with this. I mean, what you're saying. One second. He says, right. Right. So she can even marry, right.
She's not pasul tikuna.
Right, right. And she's viewed as being wounded by wood. Anytime this spirit going to wound by wood. So if I permit mukad eitz, I permit her to be married as well. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya Nivala Lebehema Kshir Lekuna. Tani Nami Hachi. We learn a brisa that supports this. Nivala Lamisha Eino Ish. If she's Nivala by an entity that's not a person, Af Pisha Beskila. Even though she's Chayv Skila, if there would be Eidim and Hasra, she'd be Chayv Skila, but Kshir Lekuna. It's okay. like you're reading the Shidduch. You know, she's a wonderful girl. Small detail happened.
Five.
Okay, now Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Masa. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he said there was an incident with one young woman in Hitlu, was the name of a place. She was cleaning up the house. This dog, which is used for hunting, was marbia her from her rear end. And Rebbe was machshir this woman that she could marry a kohen. Amar Shmuel a kohen gadol, and Shmuel said he was machshir even for a kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, "May Rebbe kohen gadol mihava." In the time Rebbe was there, a kohen gadol. Rebbe lived after the korban based on mikdash. Ela ruui the kohen gadol. Rebbe said she's ruui to be for a kohen gadol. We don't have a kohen gadol anymore, but if we would, she'd be ruui, you know, to marry the kohen gadol. Notwithstanding the fact that she went through this incident.
Some say it was a small dog, by the way.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
He says.
Aruch.
Rashi says klavim gedolim.
Yeah. It says both of the Purushim.
Oh, yeah, right. The Aruch says kelev katan. You're right.
Can we assume? Why can't we assume that if the dog did from the front, should be usher?
So if he had the case.
Because he's saying the exact case is he did from the back. That's
right.
She's motor. But if, maybe if she did it, the dog did it from the front.
Yeah. So we said earlier that from the front, she would have a din of mukad eitz. So
this is like the back.
So mukad eitz would be subject to possibly the machloket tonight we saw in the Mishnah. Remember in the Mishnah we said below yisat mukad eitz. So if I assume that Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon hold that way, so then not everybody would necessarily agree with it. But if you hold that mukad eitz is a psul, that it wouldn't, then she wouldn't be ra'uin. Wait. She was from the back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say,
why can't we say from this that from the front should be usher?
So from the front she'd be usher. So according to some poskim, she would be usher from the front. But I don't know if everybody would agree she's usher from the front.
You said that?
In other words, we mentioned before in the previous sugya, mukareis. In other words, it's from the front, so she'd be like a mukareis, like a woman who's wounded by the wood, right? If you look at footnote 15, yeah, even a woman who's copulated vaginally with an animal is viewed as having merely been wounded by wood. Thus, any time it disputes the last rule of our Mishnah permits the marriage of a kohen to a woman wounded by wood, would also permit his marriage to a woman who engaged in bestiality. So there might be a tzad
to be aser,
to aser from the front, but from the back she's okay. Okay, let's back in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. All right, now I only have a few minutes left. As a matter of fact, maybe 1 minute. So the Gemara says, "Amarli Rava mi parzi kai." Corrects it. The Rav Ashi, "Minaha mil tadamu rabbanan ein znut the behema." Where do we know this halacha? That, in other words, when we say znus, so that's like a term of art, because a coin is admonished not to marry a zona. How do we know that when you have relations with the behema, you're not a zona? So he says, "The chtiv lo tabia non zona mechir kelev." So the Torah says, "Don't bring et non zona is the payment of a zona, like if I pay the zona with a sheep, that sheep is can never be used as a korban. Umechir kelev, the price of a dog. So if I use a sheep to pay for a dog, so I can't use that sheep for a korban either." So he says, "Utanan, in the Mishnah we learn, etnan kelev umechir zona mutarin. The etnan kelev is if I give a sheep to a woman to have relations with a dog, so that I'm allowed to use as a korban. Umechir zona, mechir zona is if I use a sheep to like sell my maid who's a zona. In other words, my maid is a zona and I sell her for the sheep, so I'm allowed to use that sheep as well. But the thing, the key line is that the etnan kelev is permissible. So in other words, that which I'm using to pay for the relationship between dog and the woman, in other words, I'm paying a woman to have relations with the dog, that's not prohibited because that's not znut. That's the idea. He says, mutar and shneimar gam shneihem, both of them, shneim v'lo arba, two and not four. Okay, let me just do this quickly and that'll be it. So tanur banan, anuset atzma, mufutet atzma lo yisa, it's talking about the Kohen Gadol, the woman that he rapes and the woman that he seduces, he shouldn't marry. Vim nasa nasui, but if he marries them, he's married, we'll see. Anuset chaver, mufutet chaver lo yisa, if his friend raped a woman or friend seduced a woman, he shouldn't marry them. Vim nasa, Reb Lez ben Yaakov mir blat halal, Reb Lez says that the offspring is halal. But Chachamim Rim of blood kasher. The blood is kasher. And then two more lines. In Nasana Sui, we said if he married them, they're married. Am Rav Huna Marav Umotzi Beget. Rav says he's married, but he has to divorce her. He's got to give her a get. Bilhatik Tanim Nasana Sui, but we learned he's married. That sounds like he could remain married. Am Rav Achabar Yaakov Lamar, top line. Shem Shalim Knas Bil Futim. It's teaching me that if he seduced a girl, and so the Torah says if he marries her, he doesn't pay a kenas. So if he seduces the girl, if he marries her, he doesn't pay the kenas. So if the Kohen Gadol seduced a girl and then he married her, so notwithstanding the fact that he has to divorce her, but he doesn't have to pay the knas. In other words, the marriage is viewed as a marriage, and it purges him of the responsibility to pay the knas. Okay, all right. Okay, Fern, I'm sorry about the difficulties tonight.
Thank you very much.
Well,